Hello, welcome to the weekly broadcast of Christian Temple. For the next 30 minutes, let our pastor, Brother Rob Coons, bring us the uncompromised Word of God. And let us, with the saints of God, enter into a service already in progress.
And I'm not trying to make something very simple, complicated, but what I'm saying is some of the simplistic things of the Word of God, I see people that are supposedly have understanding. People that are supposedly supposed to be spiritual. People that are supposedly supposed to be sons of God or children of God or Christians. And they seem to overlook sometimes the simplistic things of God in His Word and don't apply the principles of God. And it's like there's a distrust in God, or there's a thing of not really exercising faith or exercising the Word or trying the Word or trying God in the Word and seeing Him really truly move in their behalf. I know that many times when we sow into the spiritual world, many times we're looking for prompt and quick returns. I remember Brother Pike mentioning one time, he said, you know, if it was an overnight thing, he said every wicked man, every wealthy man would be doing this. But sometimes, see, they don't have enough faith or enough patience to wait for the returns. But we as the sons of God have been gifted with those gifts of patience and the gift, you know, to tarry and to wait upon the Lord. And then we see these things come into our life and we see Him manifest. And we continue to sow. It's he that endures to the end is the one that's blessed. You see, so we understand the principles of God in all perspectives of thought. When it comes to sowing in the finances, when it comes sowing in the physical realm and health, and it comes into sowing, naturally speaking, of doing good things. You see, as the Lord spoke here, and He talked about the wicked, and He said to depart from him. And it said that they were an evil, wicked individual. One, because they didn't use the talents. Two, another one, because they didn't do unto the least of them. And they didn't show godliness. They didn't show kindness. They didn't show the love of God to what they would say the least of them. And they didn't exercise the gifts of God. You see, brothers and sisters, in the Christian walk today, it would be so easy to be what we would call a Laodicean day Christian, which I don't believe there's such a thing, but I used it for terminology's sake. I'm saying that these people of this day and hour, of this lukewarm day and hour, are the people of people's rights, the people that always want their rights and do what they want and exercise their rights. These people of this day and hour, brothers and sisters, in their Christianity, in what they would call church, in what they would call serving God, boy, it's a cakewalk. There's no expectations of you as a Christian. You see, Christ called the 12 that walked with Him His disciples. And we know the word disciple comes from discipline. It's a disciplined life. But you see, we're in a society that doesn't like discipline. You're in a society, you know, when I learned to work, I learned to work under a disciplined guidance, under a disciplined boss that would discipline you into doing your job and discipline you in a way. But nowadays, you can't discipline in any facet. The ministers aren't supposed to discipline. The bosses aren't supposed to discipline. They're going to call the union workers. They're going to go their superiors. And they're going to do all this. And we've got the most ungodly, most wretched, most immoral, most laziest bunch of foolishness going on within the work field and within work habits. People that are call themselves Christians and are employees, I watch their life and their lifestyle, and I don't think that the mass people in the work field could call themselves Christians, because they're nothing but thieves and liars and robbers. And they go to church and they do all the things, but they don't have a mind to work when they're at work. I think that if you're born again and got the mind of Christ, when you're at work, you're going to perform. And if you don't perform at work and you take a man's money, you're stealing from him. I told a man one time employed by me, I said, buddy, you may as well come into my room while I'm sleeping at night and get my wallet and take my finances out of my wallet and take them, because you're doing the same thing. If you go onto a job and you punch a man's time clock and then you go off as a sluggard and you go off on your smoke breaks and you go off and doing all those things while you're charged, man, you're a thief. You can say anything you want. You can think I'm too strong. You can think I'm too hard, but you're a thief. I made a statement to my wife in this building that we're working in. It's a large building down in Greensboro, and they don't allow no smoking in this building. And I think I would surely like to have the finances that are paid out to those people standing outside the doors of this building that are smoking every time I go in and out of these buildings. I've said this here before, speaking about another time I've done a doctor's office and I've seen that. I thought, well, this lady's opening this door for me every time I carry a toolbox in or carry a piece of lumber in or do this. And I said, she's here every time I go in and out. I wonder who's paying her. Is she a doorkeeper or is she supposed to be a secretary in somebody's office? You see, why do I speak like this? Because there's many of us, brothers and sisters, that need to exercise these thoughts. Because what we do to the least of these, my brethren, is what we've done unto Him. I don't want to stand before God saying that you robbed me. I don't want to stand before God and He says, you robbed me of finance. How did I do that, Lord? Well, do you remember that when you work for me, you're supposed to be a Christian? Don't you remember that you're supposed to be an example of godly, Christ-like life? Don't you remember that this is what you're supposed to be presenting in your actions? But then yet your employee sees you, or your employer sees you as sluggard or slothful or lazy or always hiding out from the work or doing those things. You understand what I'm trying to say? In the mind of Christ, in Christianity, we're soul winners. And he who wins souls is wise. And the thing is, brothers and sisters, we need to present ourselves in whatever we're doing. If it's in our work fields, if it's in whatever, we need to present ourselves to a perspective of a pleasing way in all realms. The Bible said we're supposed to have a good name within and without. You say, what does that mean? It means that within the church, within the brotherhood, we should have a good name. But outside that, when we're dealing with heathens, or we're dealing with people, we should have a good name. They shouldn't think and look at us as one wants something or something for nothing. Or they shouldn't look at us for one that would be taking advantage of people's generosity or people's kindness. Believe me, as a Christian, we swear to our own herd to suffer the wrong in many occasions in our workplaces, in our work fields, to be a testimony and to be a light. I like what Brother Mike said when he was working over here for these people on the north end of town. He said, you know, Brother Rob, I did a lot of extra work there. I went and done many things extra to this man. I was sharing the Lord and witnessing and testifying God to him. So I done all these things before he can get at the man's interest. See, the man saw a man that was concerned for people and for winning souls, and he went the extra mile so it gave him an opportunity to testify God to him. You understand that? And this is what we need to be doing. Isn't it a shame? And I've been there myself, that where I've done things on jobs or in public places or whatever, that when it come to an occasion to testify God, that I would be ashamed to open my mouth. That's a sad place to be. That when our testimony isn't strong enough, that when it comes time to speak forward for the gospel, that we're ashamed because of something or actions that we have done in a workplace or on a job. See, brothers and sisters, this is where we have to grow in the things of God. You say, well, I thought we were speaking about these talents. We are speaking about talents. Your life is something that God's given back to you. You see, when you prayed and asked God for eternal life and asked God that you could be born again, the first thing that was given back to you, you gave your life unto Him. And the thing is, He said, you try to keep your life, you'll lose it. Pray to give your life, then you'll save it. How do you do that? By giving it unto Him. And when He gives this life back to you, He gives you this life back that He could dwell in, He could live in, and He could manifest in. And you give it back. And you sow those things back into this kingdom and back into the things of God, and it will be an increase added unto you. And you will find yourself growing in the things of God in mighty, mighty ways. Again, it's ye that endure to the end are the ones that are saved. So speaking of these talents, speaking of these principles, of these virgins, or speaking of the ones, these three that had these talents given unto them, and we find down through here of the ones that are seeking to deal with others and to help others. You see, we find the blessings of God here. You see, this is the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is as such. The kingdom of God is as this. The kingdom of God is now. This is the way we operate and the way we move and the way we function within the kingdom of God. And we apply these principles. We see, spiritually speaking, we apply these things because we want life. We want eternal life. So first and utmost, we do these things and apply them. But the thing that I've started out speaking, naturally speaking, we benefit right now. We don't have to wait and see our rewards stored up in heaven, brothers and sisters, and think, well, these are just heavenly rewards and we'll see it. Let me tell you something. If I didn't see the blessings of God on this side, it doesn't make them of no effect on the other side. I know by faith and I know in my heart there's such great things in store for us that eye has never seen, ear has never heard. They're so great that we couldn't put a vocal utterance to them. The things of the supernatural, spiritual world are so far beyond your human expectations, beyond your human reasoning of comprehension, beyond anything that you could even think. The eternal blessings of God are so superior that you could not even fathom it in a natural mind of man. There's not a way that a minister that is very eloquent in speech and very elegant in his delivering that would never even scratch the surface of what God has in store for you as a child of God. There isn't any possible way to give vocal expression or utterance to the things of God, of how truly awesome they are. We make feeble attempt, I might say, to speak about the kingdom of God. We make some sort of a attempt to talk about revelational truths. We make some sort of attempt to do that, but without God granting that thing as your spirit to you and opening up your eyes of understanding and letting you be partakers of the world to come and taste of those heavenly gifts, and you get a little bit of a taste of those things, then you'll find yourself doing everything in this life to press in your way into that world, and you'll find that this world is so minute and it's so far from what He has for you that there isn't anything in this world that would even make you even take a glimpse of it to make you think that you're taking a chance of losing what's in this other world. And you see, there is a transformation realm between these two worlds. And the Lord Jesus made the way come by the cross of Calvary. And He made a way of a crossing between these two worlds. And in between these two worlds is a wilderness. And there's a wilderness in between these two, and it is a very uncomfortable place when you find yourself wandering in a wilderness and finding yourself between two worlds. You see, we have men here this evening that have found themselves in between these two worlds. They start finding themselves that they really don't fit into the natural world. They really don't fit over there in the natural world, and they haven't found where they could really fit over into the spiritual world because they're in a wilderness and they find themselves in between two. And there's a dispute for their body. There's a dispute for their life. There's a dispute for them that they, the spirits of the spirit world, of this invisible world, and of the invisible world of darkness and invisible world of light, is disputing to utilize the functions of that human life and the functions of that body. And the thing is that, again, this body and this life and this soul that you have, and it's the saving of the soul, is going to be partakers of one of these lives. And the thing is you can't have two masters. Even though that in this wilderness realm, a man through carnality or through stumbling and staggering could lean to the darkness of the human mind. They could lean over to the darkness of the spirit world of the fallen angelic spirits of Satan. And they could yield their members over to that. And that doesn't mean of a possession, of an ownership, but they stumble into those things or fall into those things, and Satan will take and waste their life away. You see, but then yet, if they're a man that is the elect of God and they find the discipline and the chastening of the Spirit of God and they find the vexing and the grievousness of the Spirit of God and they take and turn away from those things and they fight and combat against those things, that's the continual warfare. And it's a travail and it's a warfare that's going to go as long as you have breath within those lungs. There's going to be a travail and a warfare. When we think of this continual warfare, you say that, is everybody in this warfare? No. Who's in the warfare? Who would find themselves in this travail of this warfare? One that would be kicking against the pricks, so to speak, what the Bible says. One that would be kicking against the things of Satan. Ones that would be combating against the things of eternal damnation. One that would be warring against the principalities and the powers of this dark world. One that would be opposition of that. If there's no opposition of that, you're in with the current of this worldly way and you're flowing with them, and there's no opposition in that. I want you to go to visit New York City, and I want you to be there at about 5 o'clock, with what we call rush hour. Okay, in Los Angeles, we always thought about rush hour and going through the Southern California, you know, it's all this traffic on the freeway. and you see all this traffic and people sitting there looking at each other as they're sitting on a freeway not moving. Finally, you go along a little bit. But in New York, we went there and passed out literature and different things, and you find massive numbers of people moving in one direction. And the thing is if you get in and walk with them in the direction going towards their subway, there's no problems because you're going wrong with them. But if you would stop and turn around and go against that, then you're going to be finding what some opposition is. You're going to find out that there's a travail to move or to get where you're going. We found ourselves in Jerusalem the same way as we was going through one part of the city. I'd never witnessed anything as such, but we were absolutely pressed so tight that you couldn't move your arms. You couldn't move at all. You know, and all I could do is about this much, and I could see, and I had people pressed up against me with some ungodly camel breath and all different kind of things, and you could not move. You understand? But when they would move, you go with them. And this is what I'm saying isn't as a spiritual thought. If you go along with the religion of this day and hour, and you go along and just talk about how wonderful Jesus is and that He loves everybody, and then you just go to church and you walk down this trail with everybody, everything's fine. But when you turn and kick against those kind of things, and you turn and preach against those kind of things, and you separate from those kind of things, then you're going to find tribulation and persecution, and you're going to find many things happening within your life. I'm saying if you want to inherit the kingdom of God, then you better know that you're a soldier for God, and a soldier of God keeps himself from being entangled in the affairs of this world. And when you find yourself being a soldier for God, the reason He uses that term soldier, because He knows that you're going to be in a war. And when you're in a war, and you and the weapons of your warfare are not carnal, so if they're not carnal, that means we're in a spiritual warfare. So now we've entered as a soldier of God into a spiritual warfare, and this spiritual warfare is for one thing. You put a man in a natural battlefield and he's going to be out there saying, yeah, I'm fighting for my country. Oh, yes, but you know what? It's going to get right down to it. He's fighting for his life when he sees these bullets flying and sees hand grenades flying and he sees his partners dying. Pretty soon it becomes not just a thing of fighting for his country. It becomes a thing of survival and fighting for his life. And the thing is when you inherit kingdom of God, or if you happen to be one from this world of natural on your way into a spiritual world and find yourself in a transformation realm going through this thing, there's going to be opposition there, and it's going to be Satan, your adversary, which is the devil, and it's going to be all of the works of darkness and people of this natural world in their carnal mind being taken into captivity at the will of the devil, and this is going to be your opposition, and this is going to be your opponent, so to speak, and you're going to find that on this way that it isn't just going to be a bed of roses and a nice little paved road that you're just going to go on, you know, just going along through life cruising, that you're going to fight and take it. Have you ever seen any land conquered or anything that was worth taking or conquering that there wasn't a travail or a fight to go or to get to or to conquer and take? And the thing is we are going to take this by force, and it is the kingdom of God, and we are the soldiers of God, and we're going to take and war against the principalities and powers of darkness that dwell within our own members of our flesh, and that is going to be the one that we're travailing and warring against is those members of darkness within our thoughts and within our actions, within our deeds, and we're going to conquer those things because God said that we're more than conquerors because we're full of the Holy Ghost and we're His children. So the thing is if we don't conquer them, what does it mean? It means we don't have His Spirit. If we're not conquering those things, what does it mean? It means that we're not a child of God. Are you going to be satisfied with a thought of such? Are you going to be satisfied in your mind to say, hey, I'm not a child of God? If you're going to be satisfied in saying such as that, then why travail? Why fight? Why go? You may as well just live it up now while you got the chance in this world and just go for whatever you're going to do. And then your day of judgment will come and you'll find yourself being resurrected with the dead. Not the dead in Christ, but the wicked dead, and be twice dead. And you'll find yourself before the judgments of God. You say, that sounds rough. It's that easy. It's cut and dry. It's either you are or you're not. You're either a saint or you ain't. And that means you ain't a saint. It's that simple. It's either you are or you're not, or either you're hot or you're cold. There's no lukewarm in the middle. You say, well, I'm going to go in and I'm going to partake of this and I'm going to walk in these blessings of God, but then yet I'm going to go in and keep fellowship over here in the world. That makes you lukewarm. And He says, I'll spew you out of my mouth. Speaks of vomit. You see, why is people vomit? Why do things come up and vomit? Because there's things that ain't mixing up right in there. You know, this stomach is made to take things in that could be utilized for strengthening and bringing strength to the body. And you put something in there, don't mix, it comes back. And you see, you bring something into that realm there of light and it don't mix with the things, it's going to come forth and it's going to come out and it's a stench in the nostrils of God. Does anybody like the smell of puke? That sounds a little crude, doesn't it? But nobody likes the smell of it, do they? I mean, you could be feeling just fine. Man, you feel good and everything's fine, and all of a sudden that old stench hits your nostrils, and all of a sudden you don't feel so good. All of a sudden you're thinking like, my, this is rough. I know God had to put his hand on mothers, man, some of the things that they deal with. So when we look at it as the allegorics, and we think of God, and we think of the stench in the nostrils of God, and we think of that of your lifestyle being lukewarm. When you want to be partakers of both worlds, that's what you are in the eyes and the thoughts of God. So again, as we just take a quick little look here and trying to talk about the Word of God in a simplistic way, no great revelational things or thoughts, just speaking of it in so simplistic. You know, we need the simple things of God's Word, brothers and sisters. We could talk about the mysteries. We could talk about the world to come. We could talk about the time before this world. And we could talk about where the sons of God were and all those things. But if we don't get a hold of the simplistic things of this Word and apply them within our life, then we've robbed ourselves. And we've missed the blessings of God. You see, God wants us to prosper on this side. God wants us to have the blessings of God on this side. You understand that? Why would He not want you to have those things? Because if those things pull you away from seeking Him and walking with Him, then He could blow on those things here to make you consider your ways and your thoughts. But I know that when people, and according to the Scriptures, and they love God and they don't have hidden sin within their life, and whatever they put their hand to, the Bible says, will prosper. Whatever they put their hand to will prosper. So the thing is that's the Word and that's the Scriptures. And we need to be sowing the talents that God has given us. And you say, what has God given me? He's given you life. He's given to each and every man, He's given natural life. And that is a talent that you could take that natural life and utilize it in a spiritual way. You could take your natural life and you turn your natural life into a spirit life and sow spiritually with this natural life, and you will receive back a life that is eternal life. And you're going to receive a life back and He's going to bless you back. But again, if we looked at it not even on the spiritual implications, and He talks about in the Scriptures and in the Word of people that had done great exploits and things that He added numbers of years to them in natural life. He even chastens children into the thing of children that are disobedient to their parents. He says that they will shorten the number of their days because of the disobedience to their parents. You understand that? So the thing is, if He's going to exhort children in such a way, then what is it more so to you as the children of God? And the thing is so we could look at these blessings naturally of having life added to us, natural things added, in many blessings, physically speaking. He could grant physical health, physical strength to you by sowing in those things. You know, many times we as Christians, we want to talk about faith, faith, faith. And we want just to have this faith and we don't exercise it, we don't walk in it. But you know, let me tell you something about faith. If you got enough strength to exercise faith and you've got enough godliness within your life to exercise the practices of application of a faith walk and a faith life, then you'll have enough stability that you could take, physically speaking, and apply things in the physical realm, in the way of discipline, in the way of diet, in the way of putting things aside. I used Brother Randall as an example the other day, and a man goes to the doctor and finds out that he's diabetic. And the doctor says, this is what you need to do. Now, you know, so we could just say, well, bless God, I'm a Christian. I don't receive that. I'm going to walk in faith. Am I opposed to that? Not at all. But in the other hand, what I would say a man with wisdom and a man with the Spirit of God would do, what he would do is he would say, okay, doctor, you know, your way might be okay and it might help, but I'm trusting God. But also, I'm going to make an application to the things that I'm going to get away from, the things that have caused me a physical problem. You understand that? The things that if the doctor says I shouldn't have sugar, then I'm going to have enough discipline within my life that I have enough strength and faith in God that I can overcome those things if such as a habit of any of those kind of things. You realize there's people that profess and call themselves Christians, and the doctor says to get away from tobacco, to get away from smoking, it's causing problems, and they can't exercise enough faith in God, enough strength in the Spirit of God to put those things away? Now tell me, let's talk about that for a second. And we use something as tobacco, but what about other things in your life? Don't you think that a man to have enough faith to walk into the translation and the transformation and transfiguration, that he should have enough faith to put anything naturally down that would get a hold of him? Now think about it. We're going to trust in this God and believe in this God to change this mortal body into mortality. But then yet we can't trust him enough to say, you're going to give me the power to put something down that is displeasing to him, that is bad for your testimony, that is going to hurt or hinder. I don't want anything in my life that's going to hinder others. If it's eating meat, I'd just soon put meat away if it's going to offend my brother. You understand that? So it doesn't matter what it is in our life. You see, and there's some that you would never please, and it's just the devil, and he's just the accuser of the brethren, and it don't matter what you do. You could do everything the way they think, and they'll change their mind the next day. What they think you should do today, when you start doing that, they say, well, no, it should be this way, because they ain't nothing but the devil. You know, we can find ourselves travailing with that if we would like to, and I try to be an example and a testimony, but there's sometimes that when you find yourself in those situations and you just go on with God, because they're going to crucify you anyway and do whatever they're going to do. So we just go on. Let's all stand. As I say so oftentimes as we come here just to talk with you a little bit or try to encourage you in the gospel or the word of God, brothers and sisters, don't come to church and just hear these things. Don't come to church and just think, well, I know these things already. We can all stand up and say, well, bless God, I know these things. But I could stand here as a minister of God sent in your behalf, as a pastor, as a minister to preach God's word, that I have witnessed in many of your lives that there is a lack of application of many of these simplistic biblical truths within many, many brothers and sisters' lives right here within Christian Temple. And that's why I continue on to preach the word. You say, do you think that we're failures? No, I don't think that there's a failure one in here. I'm going to speak to you as an overcomer. I'm going to speak to you as a conqueror. I'm going to speak to you as a child of God. But I am going to speak against that wickedness that lays within the members of your flesh. And I'm going to continue hammer. I'm going to continue crucify. I'm going to continually pull the sword of the Spirit out and slay that member within your flesh that is trying to take a hold of you and trying to drag you into eternal damnation and into the flames of hell. So when I speak to you, I'm going to speak to you as a child of God. And I'm going to speak to you as an overcomer by faith. I'm going to speak to you sometimes as a positive confession of faith of the things that are hoped for and the evidence of things not yet seen within your life. When I see failure in your life, I'm going to continue to tell you that you can do it and that you can overcome, that you can have the victory and that you are a conqueror and that you're greater than a conqueror. I'm going to do that because the Word of God commands me to do that. But I'm not going to do it in such a way of bringing you to a thought of believing a lie and being damned. Because as I keep speaking those words of faith and those words of encouragement, those words of life to you, that you're going to get a hold of those things and exercise those words in a way that you are going to come with the preacher in an agreement with him, and you're going to combat against the enemy within your own members, and you are going to mortify the deeds that are in the flesh and kill him out, and you won't be happy until you have a funeral and bury that man of your first birth and have that funeral for him and say that he's gone, and he's over with. And you say, what are you talking about? I'm saying I've already had mine. Amen. Hallelujah. You should have been there. There wasn't no mourning whatsoever at all, because he was a wretched, no good man, and the best place for him was to be buried and done away with. Amen. Hallelujah. Have you had that funeral? Have you put that man down? Have you mortified him? Have you killed him out?